4, how are you doing this morning? How many of you guys are glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Hey, would you, I know maybe this is weird for some of y'all, but it's okay. Hey, would you just turn to the person next to you, or you gotta say, just smile. That's it. Nothing like, hey, it's okay, we're in church, right? Man, I am so excited that I get to be here with you guys this morning. Just like Diego and Jamie were saying, Centro Victoria is joining us here this morning. And let me tell you, this is some of my favorite services that we can just come together, right, in one body and worship the living God. Hey, if we haven't met, or if you're new here this morning, my name is Israel Talamantes, and I have the privilege of being the lead pastor of our Hispanic church, Centro Victoria. So, which, if you didn't know, we meet every Sunday at 10:30 on the West Building, which is right across the parking lot. And every Sunday, we're worshiping with you guys. And like Diego was saying, we're two churches, but one congregation, united in one spirit. So are you guys ready and excited to hear the word of God this morning? Amen. Yes. I want to thank Pastor Bo and just the pastoral team for allowing me to come and just bring the word of God with you guys this morning. And today I will be continuing with the series in the book of Ephesians. And so far we've learned that Ephesians lays out a vision for Christians to continue to grow in their relationship with Christ. Paul is calling now the believers in the church of Ephesus to not live like they used to be, to not remain just baby Christians, right? But rather to grow and mature in their walk with Christ. The passage we're about to read, Paul is calling them to not hang on to their old ways of living, but actually to change. And we're going to learn a little bit more in Ephesians chapter 4. But before we dive in further, let me ask you a question, okay? And this morning, we're in church, so you cannot lie, okay? Do you remember the first time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Remember that time? And you tried to change, right? Jesus changed you. Maybe you became a person full of grace, compassion, patience, right? You were a very nice person. Then all of a sudden, you're driving in the 217, and then one person you cuss you off, right? And know that holiness for a moment goes for away, and you're driving, you're like, you son of a gun. All the holiness and everything that you were worshiping in the moment, right, of desperation, I was like, who is this person? Watch it. Has anyone had moments like that? Oh, is that just me? The other day, I forgot to tell this to my wife, right? I was coming one Sunday morning to come to preach at a church. And every time I drive, I like to just worship, put on worship music on my phone. And I was listening to it, and I had my windows down. And I was coming, oh, come to the altar. And I was just worshiping Jesus. But I couldn't hear my phone. Right, so I was like, oh man, I'm gonna turn the radio on. I turned the radio on and the song, I came in like a wrecking ball. And I was like, what is just happening right now? Wait a minute. One moment, I'm worshiping Jesus. I turned the radio on and this song, and I'm like, wait, I am not a wrecking ball. I'm actually the son of the living Christ, living in peace and in joy, and I'm about to praise Jesus for a moment. Why am I saying this to you? Maybe some of us, right, are trying to be our best, right, to live a holy life. But there's aspects, there's areas in our life that sometimes it creeped in, right? And those areas of our lives are kind of like our old man, our old habits. And the scripture that we're about to read, it talks about this. Actually, Paul, right, sometimes he's had his own struggles. If you read Romans chapter 7, before we enter into Ephesians, Romans chapter 7, verse 15 says this. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says this, Paul too. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And check this out. For these are opposed to each other. The Spirit of the living God, right? And sometimes my flesh, they're opposed. They are at war with one another. And then he keeps saying, he said, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Daily, right, there's a battle in our minds, in our hearts. Our flesh and the Spirit are opposed to each other. The Spirit of God tells us that we need to live a holy life. And our flesh and our old habits, our old thoughts, are always wanting us to go back to the people that we used to be. And in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is calling the church to not get caught up in that. To not get caught up in the old thinking. To not get caught up in the old habits. Paul is calling them out to change. Paul is calling them out to live a holy and righteous life. So I would like for you to open your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 17. And I'm going to read it. And then we're just going to walk our way through the verses. So chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. To put off yourself which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You know, as I was reading this passage and studying it, I'm gonna divide it kind of like into two parts, right? The first part speaks to the why or the reasons why we need to change, the reasons why we cannot continue to go with the old habits. And then the second part will speak to the reason why or how we can change. So now I'm gonna walk through you verse by verse. So if you can go back with me to verse 17. Paul says this, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Paul says, hey, like, don't act like the Gentiles do, or don't do the things that they do. Just continue to be different. But the problem is that the audience that Paul is writing to, right, some of the Christians were Gentiles. So it's Paul saying, hey, don't be a Gentile anymore. Don't be you. In the contrary, Paul is saying, hey, just be careful, right, to not have the old mindset, the old thinking. Stop thinking in the way that you used to do before you met Christ. Because that thinking is futile. That thinking is empty. And interesting enough, the word that we find here, futile, is the same word that the author of Ecclesiastes uses when he says, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. In other words, your way of thinking, it's meaningless. It's futile. It doesn't have any meaning. It's vapor. You cannot be thinking like those people do. And then in verse 18, Paul begins to describe the people with futile minds. This is what he says. They are darkened in their understanding. The New Living Translation says their minds are full of darkness. Now let me ask you a question. How would you describe a person with the mind full of darkness? How would you describe it to me? Maybe that person is mean. I don't know. Maybe that person doesn't care about anybody else but themselves. Maybe that person loves or enjoys to hurt other people. But how about this? Those people are lost. They're confused. They don't know where they're going because their thinking is meaningless. Because their mind is full of darkness. And not only they're full of darkness, but Paul also says that they're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of hearts. You know, if we refer back to Romans 7 and to Galatians, we can also be alienated from God due to our deceitful desires, due to our flesh, due to our futile thinking. And this futile and empty thinking could take us to have a darkened understanding. And that darkened understanding could easily take us right to our hearts to become hardened. And Paul is saying, don't be like those people, because that's what you're used to be. And the problem is when our hearts become hard, when our minds are futile, verse 19 says, then they have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. You know, I've been playing guitar for, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And if you were to touch or feel my fingertips on my left hand, the top of my fingertips, it's pretty hard. Because I have calluses, right? Like I don't really have that much sensitivity. If you were to poke it, I might not feel it as much as you would do in my right hand. And this is because I've been playing guitar for a very long time. My fingers have gotten used to it. Now, I'm just warning you that if you're trying to play guitar for the very first time and you're trying on a guitar with metal strings, your fingers are going to hurt. But you just gotta keep doing it until your fingers become callous. This is what Paul is saying. These people that live in the flesh, these people that have futile minds, they won't feel anything anymore. They don't feel conviction. They don't see their sin. There are calluses in their hearts. They will listen to you, let alone the word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 puts it this way. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. What is a seared conscience? Or what is a seared mind? A seared conscience is the gradual deterioration of sensibility produced by habitual sin. It means that you won't be able to hear the Holy Spirit. You won't be able to feel the Holy Spirit. My sin won't grieve you anymore. I won't be able to hear anyone. Why? Because my heart is calloused. Because of my futile thinking. And Paul is given a description of those people who have walked in the darkness. And Paul is saying, that is the old you. That is the old version. That's not you anymore. And then if we go to verse 20, this is where the new you begins. It says this, but that it's not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth in Jesus. Now, I'm gonna be very clear with this. And for me, this is what changes this message from only being an immoral message. Meaning, stop doing this because it's bad. Or don't think about this because then you're gonna be a sinner. Stop that. Change that. But actually, when you learn about Christ, Christ is more than a moral teacher. And to better understand what I'm saying, just go back a couple of verses up. Go to Ephesians 4. Verse 15 says this, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Now, Paul talked about Christ being the head. And here in this scripture, right, the head has two meanings. The first meaning is being the head, that person is being in charge. Being the main leader, being the empower, which it's Christ. That is the first meaning. But then the second meaning is when Paul is talking about the head, he's talking about the source. Meaning Christ is the source of the body. The source of love. The source of kindness, the source of grace, the source of forgiveness. Everything that we need comes from that source, from the head who is Christ. So Paul is saying, so in order to put off the old ways of thinking, we must remain close to the source who is Christ. Because in Christ, listen to this, we will find truth in love to the way that we need to be living. In Christ, who is the source, we will learn what it is to live a holy life. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says this, and now, just as you have accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord. Lord means he's over every area of your life. It says you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Let your lives be built on the source. And then what happens? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught. And then what happens? And then you will overflow with thankfulness. What is Paul saying here? When you give your life to Jesus and when you allow him to be the Lord of your life, then his love and his truth will cause you to live a different life. You will live a different life not because you have to, but because you will desire to do it. We will live a different life now, because we will know that he took my place on the cross, he paid my debt, he paid my sin, and now I get to walk in freedom. Therefore, everything I do, everything I say, my actions reflect the source who is Jesus Christ. Now I live out of the gratefulness of what he paid on the cross for me. I don't want to be different because Pastor Bo is telling me that I need to be different. I don't want to go back to my old habits, right? Because my wife is telling me not to go back to my old habits. I simply don't want to go back to my old habits, because when I am with the source, his grace, his love, his kindness overwhelms my life. Therefore, when I walk in this life, I walk out of the overflow of his forgiveness. And how many of you guys here this morning are thankful, right, for Jesus dying on the cross for us so that you and I can be here sitting, praising, and worshiping Jesus? But we need to stay on that source. We need to stay close to Jesus. Then let's continue to read verse 22. This next part of Paul gives us the how to live a mature life, a new life, and how we can change it. Then he says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. This means we must put stop to our flesh sinful desires, to those desires that will take us back to the old life. Remove your old self. Remove your old thinking. Remove your old vocabulary. Remove your old actions. And the interesting thing is, when you read the letters of Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians, Paul would address this very same issue. And that just tells me the Christians back then and the Christians now, at one point or another, will come to Jesus, but our flesh is going to battle the Spirit of God in ourselves. And we read it at the beginning. Our flesh and the Spirit of God are always at war. Therefore, we need to put off the old thinking, put off the old Israel. And then he says, but in order to continue to live a new life, you must do the following, verse 23. And he says, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Be renewed. Colossians 3 says, set your minds and your thinking on things above. And put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This means we are to begin to follow the Holy Spirit to a lifestyle that corresponds to who we have become in Christ. This new holy self shows we are maturing. We are being more like Jesus. We're growing in maturity. We're growing the body. We're doing the work again, not because we have to, but because we want to stay close to the source. And to live a blessed life and a changed life, we must put off whatever is weighing us down and put the new self, be renewed, be transformed, we change. I'm going to share a story with this. A couple of months ago, my wife was going through my closet. How many wives here go through your husband's closet? No? Okay, well, all right. And my wife was cleaning up, right? And she walked into my closet and she say, hey, I don't like this shirt. Yeah, this is old. Yeah, no, to get rid of this. And then, right, she went and... And I don't know, like she should have asked me permission to go into my closet, but whatever, you know, it's okay. So she goes into my closet, right? And then she starts speaking on closet. I go, I don't like this, right? And then she picks up a jacket. This is a little different, but this is one of the jackets that she doesn't like. and she says, try it on, you need to get rid of it. And I'm like, no, I am not. She says, yes, like, what are you doing? Like, you have your closet full of old clothes. And she goes, that jacket is ugly. As a matter of fact, it doesn't match your eyes. Whatever that means. And I'm like, yes, it does. A And I'm like, no, look at it. Like, I look good in it. And she's like, no, that is old. Like, your kids make fun of you. Like, that jacket should be in the garage and outside. And I'm like, my family gave this to me. It's something precious. I don't care how ugly, how smelly that thing is. I am going to keep it. But then my wife says this. But honey, if you don't leave space for the new, then you're always going to continue to wear the old stinky jacket forever. You need to leave space in your closet so that I can give you a better coat. Come on now. She goes, but the problem is, like, when you go about your closet, the only thing that you see is that old, nasty jacket. You need to leave space for even me to give you something new. And this is basically what Paul is saying. Remove the old, smelly old you. The person that used to think a certain way, and now begin to clothe yourself with the righteousness, with the love, with the grace, with the compassion of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward with me. And I'm going to close with this. To put off your old self, to get rid of it. And what I'm about to share is something very personal to me. And I was praying about it. I was trying to figure it out to come up with a story. But the Holy Spirit kept coming back to me. I grew up being a pastor's kid my entire life, serving God. And at the age of 10, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I continue to help my parents in ministry. I go off to the big city. And at the age of 13, for the very first time, I was exposed to pornography. And that old jacket, that old sin of pornography, didn't know this, sister. For 20 some years, that sin, that habitual sin became part of me. And the jacket of shame, the jacket of guilt became part of me. Many times I try to come to leaders and I try to say something, but I felt afraid. I didn't know what to do. And that jacket of pornography was there to mask the pain that I was suffering. And the lies of the enemy will always used to say, if only people knew what you do and who you are, they will never come to your church. And I just continue to keep it on. And I was so afraid to let go. I was so afraid because then I was going to expose who I really was before the eyes of the Lord. So I started dating my wife. We're about to get married, and my wife says, like, no, we're not gonna get married because something is wrong. And again, she went into the closet of my heart. She's like, you need to do something about you. For the first time, I was able for 20 years, I was able to confess my sin to my wife. She embraced me. For the first time, she loved me with her heart. But then she said, okay, that's great what you've done. Now it's time to pick it up a notch. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean by that? It's like, now you have to come up and share it with your pastor. I cannot share that with my pastor. Are you kidding? No way. And I had just been hired to work here at Beaverton Forest Church. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Pastor Randy. My wife said, you need to get rid of that shame and that guilt because that is not who God created you to be. I walked into his office with my girlfriend back in the day. Listen to this. For the very first time, when I shared my struggles, when I shared my sin, when I shared my pain, when I shared my shame and my guilt, for the very first time, I was letting go of that old self-me. And never, ever, ever I had experienced love, grace, compassion, forgiveness from a spiritual leader like I did from Pastor Randy, which I will forever be grateful for his life. And then I began to walk in purity. My wife and I got married, and I'm going to tell you, in all honesty, sometimes it's difficult. Because the old me, the old self, it's a flesh, it's a war with my flesh. But by the grace of God, I am married with a lovely wife. I have two beautiful kids. I get to pastor one of the coolest Hispanic churches in the world. And for 10 years, I have been walking in freedom. I've been walking in restoration. I've been walking, I put the grace of God, I put the forgiveness of God, and now I have to walk not as an addict, but as a children of God, as someone that has purpose, someone that has been forgiven. So everything I do, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I have dressed myself with the grace and the love of God. And therefore, that will make me to be different. Now, I want to stop for a moment. I want to silence right now in this moment all the voices of fear, all the voices of shame that are starting to clip on it into your heart, all the voices that are lying to you that you're not worth it, you're a bad husband, you're a bad wife. Right now, it's time to put the new self and to embrace God so that we can live. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. And I think we just ran a little bit over time. And in the next couple of minutes, perhaps you're not dealing with an addiction. Maybe you're... dealing with impure thoughts. Maybe you're dealing with your vocabulary that is foul. Maybe you're dealing with multiple things, but church, it's time to get rid of the old self and to put the new and allow the source to change us this morning. So I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet, and I would like people to come forward. If you need prayer this morning, we're going to do an altar call. And you say this morning, hey, I want this morning to put off the new self, the old self, and I want to continue the new. I want to ask you that in boldness to come forward, and we would love to pray for you, and we would love to walk this journey with you. So would you do that today? Because today is the day of salvation.
Today is the day of healing. Today is the day where the shame, where the guilt is nailed on the cross. And we're going to be free. As we worship, I'm going to ask you guys just to come, right, and allow us to pray for you.
Before I do that, I would like to do the benediction, so if you can just stand your hands out with me. That the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. Thank you for coming. We'll see you guys next week. Hey, but if you want prayer, come forward. This is a holy place. We would love to pray for you. Thank you for being here. We'll see you guys next week.